Welcome to Recovery Talks, a Fairbanks podcast, where experts from Fairbanks Treatment and Recovery Center, located in Indianapolis, Indiana, take time to discuss unique aspects of addiction, substance use disorder, and recovery, as well as other relevant issues with our guests. I'm Kathleen Gill, your host for today. I've worked at Fairbanks since 2007, and I'm a woman in long-term recovery. Today on Recovery Talks, we're talking about adolescence and substance abuse. Joining me is Rochelle Gardner and Mindy Miller. Rochelle is the COO of Hope Academy, Indiana's only recovery high school, and Mindy is the inpatient clinical manager at Fairbanks. Thank you both for sharing your time with us. Mindy, tell me a little bit about yourself.
Well, I have been at Fairbanks for 13 years. I started as an intern. I kind of fell into it. I was in desperate need of a practicum and wanted to work with youth. So I ended up on the adolescent unit and very quickly fell in love and found my passion. And it was definitely where I was meant to be. I started as a float counselor about 12 and a half years ago and worked at every level of care in the adolescent unit from inpatient to outpatient, and then became clinical supervisor of the adolescent unit, then a manager, and then in January became the manager of the inpatient units combined.
And you've been there for about 13 years?
13 years, yeah.
Great. And Rochelle, please tell me a little bit about how you found your way into Fairbanks.
This is my 28th year. I kind of started the same way Mindy did. It was kind of a fluke. I needed a job right out of graduation at IU, and a friend of mine said, come work with me on this kid unit, and they have drug and alcohol issues, and I did. So I started as a tech, and then became a counselor, and then became the clinical supervisor, the manager, the director, and then co-founder of Hope Academy. So that's been my journey for the last 28 years.
So, Mindy, tell me a little bit of how adolescent treatment differs from adults who are struggling with addiction.
I think the biggest component that we address is the adolescent development component. So during adolescence, the brain is going through tremendous changes in growth. So with that, we have a lot of life skills and working with the family to address the adolescent's needs. The substance use has started at a time when their brains are pretty vulnerable, actually. So it's really about reshaping the social, the environmental, and all of those components to help reshape their brain in a more healthy direction.
So how young are kids coming to Fairbanks? What are you seeing with the...
We are licensed 13 to 19 on our adolescent unit. Average age is around 15 or 16 of the patients that come in.
Very good. And what kind of addictions are you seeing with these young kids?
Kids tend to be polysubstance, so they may have a drug of choice, but they're still kind of in a phase where they're using pretty much everything available. Primary substances we see, marijuana, alcohol, benzos, opiates, and we've started to see an increase in methamphetamine.
I would also say that the difference between treating adults and adolescents is the environment and the people. So you have to have an environment that's conducive to a young person feeling safe, and a place where they can feel connected and they can feel vulnerable. Adult units tend to, you know, be a medical kind of model, where on an adolescent unit, it's much more about the social, emotional health of young people, with staff that understands that there's normal adolescent behavior, and then there's behavior of a young person who has substance use disorder. And to not confuse the two, and not to label the behavior as bad, but as behavior that is part of their disorder and part of their illness that has to be evaluated and taught how to change.
So can you share with us what kind of services are available for your teens that are coming to Fairbanks?
Well, on our treatment side, we have a full continuum. So we have inpatient, which includes detox for individuals who need a medical taper to withdraw from substances. We have rehab and residential. And residential is really where we focus on the environmental factors with the kids that Rochelle was talking about, helping them build healthy relationships and kind of work through with the family on what changes need to happen at home. Then we have our partial hospitalization program, and that's our day program. It's 7 days a week from 8:30 in the morning until 9 o'clock at night. So it's still pretty intense. And it kind of allows a transition back into the home environment. Following that, we have IOP, it's our intensive outpatient, which is 9 hours a week, followed by recovery management, which is kind of the after treatment component, offering support to the kids as they kind of figure out how to live life sober.
I can only imagine that it's very, very difficult for a parent to have their child go into treatment. What are the signs and symptoms that the parents should be looking for where treatment becomes the next step?
There tend to be more drastic changes. So I think the part that's hard with adolescents is that adolescence tends to be a time of change and growth in general. So it's really about something a little bit more extreme and seeing that. So drastic change in friends, maybe friends they've had all along are no longer their friends that they're spending time with. Loss of interest in activities outside of home or being with their friends. So whether it's school or sports or band or whatever it might be, losing interest in that. Yes, no answers, not really having conversations, just more secretive.
Are those not all normal behaviors of
a
teenager?
That's where it becomes tricky, is that it's easy to rationalize that these are normal adolescent behaviors. So it's more extreme than the norm. Because even with the norm, you can eventually have some kind of conversation and maybe get to what's going on.
We always tell the parents that they know their child the best. And so if it doesn't feel right and it looks different, then they probably should question that. And
parent intuition is real and needs to be listened to, is kind of what I always tell parents.
So as a woman in recovery myself, I started drinking when I was 13 years old, and I'm also a mother of three, and there's this tendency, before I started working at Fairbanks and having the opportunity to work on the adolescent unit with the both of you ladies, you were very instrumental in helping me find a stance on which to stand. But my stance before coming to Fairbanks was, I drank at 13, and kids are going to experiment. And the other part of myself being in recovery is, I drank, so who am I to say that they can't do that? What would you say to parents that are coming with that opinion?
And that's a pretty common struggle that parents have on setting those boundaries and looking at what they did, whether in the recovery or not, what they did and the boundaries for their child. So we just really have to talk through where their child is at currently, what are their household values and expectations, and how to help parent around those.
I think one of the biggest things that parents get hung up on is, this is what I did when I was their age. This is a different time. You know, as adults, we feel stress, but our young people are living in an environment where they're receiving information 24/7. They're being asked to do way more than what we were asked to do. I mean, the levels of anxiety and depression that our kids are feeling is tremendous. So you add drugs and alcohol on top of that, and just the normal response is, it makes me feel different, it makes me feel less anxious, less depressed, and it starts that pattern of substance use disorder in young people very quickly. A lot of our kids talk about, you know, starting to use around age 11 or 12, but no one really asking them about drug and alcohol use until they're 16. So they've been talked to about their depression or their anxiety, but they've been smoking weed and drinking the entire time. Their brains have totally been transformed to a brain that only relies on normalcy as if it has some sort of substance in their brain. So it's a different time, and Mindy's right, talking about values and what your expectations are and knowing the facts. You know, don't rely on what you think you knew from back in your day, but know the facts today. What are the facts today?
Well, and substances are not the same potency as they were back in the day. Marijuana has increased its addictive qualities and potency tenfold. So it's understanding, too, that the drugs of choice have progressed as well.
The services, tell me a little bit about how you determine where a child fits in what level of care that you provide at Fairbanks.
So we start with an assessment in our access center, and the assessment is free of charge. So if you're parent intuition is saying something's not right, there's no harm in coming in and doing an assessment and seeing what comes out of it. Parents can call, set up an appointment with our inquiry case managers, and then sit with a licensed mental health or social work counselor to assess what's been going on. We meet with the parents, we meet with the child to get a full picture of what's happening in the home and what's happening with the child. And through that, we make a recommendation for a level of care. So a child can be admitted to any, directly admitted to any of our levels of care.
One of the things that I think people, a misnomer about Fairbanks is that, one, they have an adolescent program, but it's probably one of the only adolescent programs that really focuses equally on substance abuse as mental health things going on with that young person. And so, you know, they created a phone line just for adolescent parents or young people's parents to call, because sometimes you just need to talk to somebody before you kind of pull that trigger. Where adults, they kind of know it's time to go in and I'm going to do that. With kids, you have so much going on, you just kind of need to bounce that off of somebody. And so by creating the adolescent helpline has really been something that I don't think other providers have, where a parent can just kind of talk to somebody for a minute. It's scary bringing your child into a place that you're going to drop them off and you may not see them for 2 weeks or whatever. So having that availability, and the beautiful thing about the adolescent services is that it really centers around the young person and what the needs are, and that involves all of the family, all of the support system. So adults usually have a wife or something, a kids or something like that. Kids have all of these people that their schools and maybe probation and extended family that they have to deal with. And so that's the beauty of the length of stay that Fairbanks gets for their adolescent program, and just the work that they do on all of those social emotional issues that kids bring to the table, not just their drug use, but also dealing with the drug use and being experts in understanding what drugs do to the brain. And so working in tandem with their mental health is critical. And I think Fairbanks does a really great job of doing that.
You've mentioned family several different times. And when you have a minor that you're dealing with addiction issues, what kind of support do you have for the family?
We have a pretty intense family program. So throughout all levels of care, we have a family night. So it's a night where the families come in with their child and the other individuals in the group and kind of talk about family issues. Addiction is a family disease, so the whole family has been affected by it and is in the chaos from it and need support and help through that. So we have a family education. It's a continuous 8-week, 6-week course that the families can go through to learn about the disease of addiction, to learn about recovery concepts, learn about enabling and what maybe their part is in that. Following with, we have parent support, family support groups that continue, and we do individual family sessions throughout the entire continuum, consistent phone calls so that they know what's going on with their child. And we're not just letting them know what's going on with their child, we're also coaching them through, here's what you can do, here's some support, because really the whole family are our patients.
What I hear from parents is that they, when they get to that group, it's a scary time, but then they realize that they're not the only ones. You know, there's some shame and guilt that goes into admitting that this is happening, even though it can be a normal process for people. That's what parents feel. And so going into a group with people that are kind of going through the same thing can be very scary, but by the end, it's very rewarding. And by having some alumni parents that then stood up and said, let's start a parent support group for these parents after that, we encourage Al-Anon and other types of parent support meetings, because we want the parents to be, this is a journey. Okay, this isn't a sprint. This is a journey, and we want them to choose Fairbanks as their partner in that journey, and that's why they have such a vast array of continuum of care for kids and families.
What do you find to be the young adult's biggest challenge after they've received treatment?
Balance. So it's balancing the recovery knowledge with the social norms that they have. So that's where Hope Academy comes in and is vital to their sobriety. once they've kind of gotten the basis in treatment and they're in the recovery management component, and kind of back at home and in their home environment and potentially schools, it's really difficult to maintain those boundaries or maintain the sobriety and maintain what they've learned. So they tend to go back and forth. You know, we kind of see the journey. It almost is like a roller coaster. It's kind of up and down. So extra support from Hope Academy, creating an environment for them to keep their basis and their foundation of recovery, make a huge difference in continuing that journey forward.
Well, and I think that's important too, because parents, you know, parents think, okay, well, they did treatment, so they should be all good. Understanding that the journey is like a roller coaster, and there'll be hills and valleys, but there's enough support that's been built by this continuum that Fairbanks has to be supportive for the young person and accountable for the young person, but also support for the family along that journey.
Yes, I would think that it would be incredibly challenging for the young person to receive treatment and then go back in to the traditional high school and be around the kids that are partying, and they're trying to maintain that new concept of sobriety. So I think that's a perfect opportunity for us to learn a little bit more about Hope Academy, if you would, Rochelle.
So we created Hope about 13 years ago, where we were finding that, you know, kids would come into treatment and they go right back out into their homeschools or that basic life, and they'd relapse and they come back, and there's a cycle. And after doing some research, found that there were some other recovery high schools around the country. And I, at the time, had said to our new CEO, we were changing our mission to focusing on recovery. And I said, well, you know, for kids, it's really school. They spend 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, 180 some days a year in school. They need a place that they can feel safe, supported, and successful. And they're just not. And so that's kind of how Hope Academy came about, where we decided to become a mayor-sponsored charter school, of which we've remained for the last 13 years, and focus on just those issues. So it's a 9th through 12th grade high school. Kids graduate with a Core 40 diploma. But it's a dual platform. It's both academics, so it looks like a traditional day. They have a 7-period day. But they start every day as a community of young people in recovery. And we do different activities on 2 days a week. The whole school comes together and kind of set the tone and end the week together as a community of people on this journey. And then the other 3 days are working with the recovery coach on just those, you know, those behaviors and ideas and building new tools and new skills. And then they go and they do school. So they do math and English and social studies and science and art and all the things that a normal high school young person would do, with the whole goal of either returning to their home school at some point or graduating and going on to higher ed.
So my understanding is that Hope Academy has the capacity to serve 60 students, and that we are currently at about 30 students there. Why do you think that we don't have, I would think that we would have a waiting line for that school, because that is so needed.
Yeah, it's funny because people are like, well, come start one in my community and start one in my community. And I'm like, I need to fill the one in this community first. There is a need. I think it's a stigma issue. I think it's a understanding of really what the school is. I think it's, sometimes when we either refer a student maybe out of our school or as a parent seek that type of school, you know, what does that say about me or my school? We just have to come to the consensus that this is an issue. It's not a bad thing. It is an illness. These kids that need Hope Academy need a special place that can help through their illness, just like any other illness would get special accommodations or something like that. That's the same thing for this illness. And so I think it's that. It's a lot of kind of head in the sand kind of things. They'll grow out of it. It's a normal process for kids. As we normalize marijuana across the country, that isn't pushing our level of risk at a high, saying we need to do something because of that. So I think it's a lot of those things. I think when they find us, it's the time that they need us. I wish that we could attract more students so that they don't have to suffer any more than they're already suffering before by the time they get there.
I think parents have a view of what their child's life's going to be like as they're growing up, and they have their own plan and vision of what that's going to look like. And so it's really easy to get focused on the differences from that plan instead of looking at where you're at. So you might have a path in mind, but that's not where they're at. And I think really if we focus on what our adolescent's about, it's about developing your identity. And if you look at that, that's you do that by surrounding yourself by people and having relationships with people, and that helps develop your identity. And that's what Hope Academy provides. And really the whole beauty of the continuum is that everybody wraps around the child, from our inpatient unit to outpatient to Hope Academy, to help them figure out who they are and build that identity and build success through that. And if you focus on what do we really want, not the pieces to get there, but what do we really want? We really want our adolescents to have a firm identity, to be secure in who they are, and to be productive members of society. And if you just focus on that, it makes sense to make the changes.
You know, we had the foresight 13 years ago to say, this is going to only get worse for our young people. So let's create a place and a part of a system that will help them set them up for success. And so Fairbanks entered into the education business. They're not in the education business. So we entered into the education business for the community and built a school for the community, and really has been, you know, leading the way both, you know, innovation and financially and advocacy for young people. Really at this point reaching out to the community to say, okay, let's all band together to help what we think is going to be even worse for our young people if we don't do something about it now. We spend a lot of time talking about, you know, the opiate crisis and what are we going to do, and a lot of our discussion is around adults. This is a proven evidence-based practice, okay, that's happening in 40 different schools around the country, and it should be happening everywhere around the country. It's not every student that needs a school like this, but there are a lot of students that probably won't make it without this kind of environment.
Are there other recovery schools in Indiana?
So we are the only one in Indiana. There's several in Massachusetts, and there's two or three in Texas, but we're the only one in the really Midwest.
So we have our adolescent unit ages 13 to 19, but we also have our Odyssey unit, which is our young adult males unit for 19 to 24-year-old males. Because really what we have found is that adolescence is kind of a two-part thing now. You know, however many years ago adolescence lasted 10 years, now it's lasting about 25. I mean, your brain's not fully developed until you're in your mid to upper 20s. And if you add substance use to that, it's delayed. So the needs of the 19 to 24-year-olds is going to be very different than of the 16-year-olds. So we've developed our Odyssey program 4 years ago to really specifically target the needs of young adults, helping them build life skills, independent skills, while also addressing their substance use. And again, the family is very involved because it's a family disease, and keeping everyone involved in how to support the young person.
And when we developed that, we developed it as a male program for a couple of reasons. One, we were seeing a higher utilization of that program in the male population. But two, you know, females are just tend to be more nurturing anyway. And so our females that were going on to the women's unit at that age were getting really some of those social emotional needs met that they needed. On the male unit, they're not as tolerant. And these young boys can be difficult, let's just say. And so creating a space for just them seemed to really alleviate a lot of issues that were happening maybe, you know, in the adult population, but also giving them a place. Again, kids need a place that is safe, that's engaging. They don't want to be treated like, they say they want to be treated like adults, but they really don't. And so, and with a staff of people that understood the intricacies of a young adult population. And so that's kind of why, you know, the Odyssey for boys has really kind of stuck. And, you know, the girls are pretty much contained within that women's program.
We have a lot of staff working with the young men, recovery coaches, case managers, things as simple as taking them for a job interview, filling out a resume. They're kind of thrust into adulthood without the skills for a variety of reasons, primarily their substance use. And there's terror when it comes to the thought of being an adult and getting a job, filling out a resume, and actually doing an interview and having to take that on. It is very scary. So what looks like just not caring and defiance is really fear as to growing up. So we have to kind of take them by the hand and walk them through each step, helping them build some success with it so that they feel like they can accomplish it.
And it's so interesting. As a parent, there's that. You see that defiance and you see that anger that comes out sideways, and then it activates a trigger for the parent to be angry and yell and say, you need to do this. And it is hard to remember that those kids really just need guidance and direction. I think the best lesson that you ladies taught me working on the adolescent unit 11 years ago was to deliver a firm, fair, and consistent message to those kids. So if you have a parent who is suspecting that they've got some problems, they might be finding some things in their child's room, what would you recommend for parents that are suspicious of their kids getting involved in drugs and alcohol or just any kind of substance use?
The first thing would be to call our hotline. You're talking to an adolescent specialist who knows kind of what to look for and can walk you through and have a conversation with you on what's the next step. And it's likely coming for an assessment. Like I said, there's no harm. It's a free assessment working with licensed clinicians who can give you a full picture of what's going on with the substance use. And it starts with a phone call, and we will talk for an hour if we need to. We'll talk for 5 minutes. It we'll have repeated conversations, just kind of whatever the family is needing at the moment.
And I suspect your access center would determine this, but don't you have some levels of education?
Mm-hmm. We do. We have our Prime for Life and marijuana education based on what the individual needs are. So if there's not a consistent pattern of use, that's where we kind of look at more of the education component and looking at risky behaviors and can refer the adolescent into that program.
So it could be an education, it could be outpatient services, it could be inpatient services. There's opportunity for actually high school education focused on recovery.
And our adolescent, our access counselors, I should say, are adolescent specific as well. So they are also experts in adolescence and working with the families and the adolescents themselves.
As you can imagine, an adolescent coming in for assessment is not always real receptive. So they've been specially trained in skills of motivational interviewing and trying to get the young person to kind of talk about it and feel safe in that environment. I'd also say that, you know, when you're talking about the high school, we are a partner with Fairbanks, they don't have to go through Fairbanks. But we can help also kind of direct if they need treatment or if they're coming from another provider, we enroll those students as well.
Fantastic. So the stigma of addiction, the fact that it is a mental health illness, what can we do to shift that?
Well, we need to talk about it. We're so afraid to talk about our feelings, and then say, you know, if a young person is talking about their anxiety and depression, we should always follow up with, have you ever tried substances? Are substances something that's helping you get through that? I don't know that we do a lot of that because of the stigma, but I can tell you that the kids that we serve, all of them have some sort of co-occurring issue that's going along with their drug and alcohol use. And it doesn't really matter. The kids don't really care which came first, the drug use or the mental health. That's kind of an adult thing. They just want to talk to somebody about their issues and feel safe and supported and heard And I think that's the beauty of the full continuum that Fairbanks has put together, and you know, their foresight of what adolescence really needs.
I think it's really important to remember that people suffering from substance abuse disorder are not bad people. We get caught up into that. It's not about bad or good. It's about hurt and fear and sickness and all kinds of issues that are not about good and bad. And keeping our focus on that makes a huge difference for this, battling the stigma and helping put it in perspective.
And for parents, having the you know, putting it out there and being willing to look at that. We live in a world today where we cannot put our head in the sand that may be happening. Any of us, doesn't matter your socioeconomic status, it doesn't matter. We need to recognize that our kids are stressed. Our kids are expected to do a lot. And as their normal adolescence behavior shows, they're going to seek out whatever ways to make them feel better, whether that's they spend 24 hours on their social media, or it's drugs or alcohol, or it's sleeping, or it's gaming, or whatever that is. It's a stressful time, and we have not put in their society. We don't have time. The other thing is we don't have time to teach them those social emotional things. Schools just don't have time to do that anymore. That's the place that they got a lot of that work, and they just don't have the time. Now, they're realizing that, and so, you know, you see these social-emotional directors now starting up in schools, which is a plus, and thank goodness we're looking at that and willing to take that on, because if we don't change that pattern, we're going to have a very, very difficult time with these young people.
We have a motto of "Together We Can." I'd love to have each of you fill that blank at the end of that "in." Together we can what?
Together we can walk on this journey together.
Together we can find serenity.
We need serenity. We need somebody to walk with. And if you are struggling with parenting a child with addiction, please make sure that you reach out to Fairbanks at fairbanksrecovery.org. The adolescent helpline is 317-691-7119 or 855-518-2501. You can also check out Hope Academy High School at hopeacademyrhs.org. This has been Recovery Talks, a Fairbanks podcast. If you or a loved one needs support in the journey of recovery, the experts at Fairbanks Treatment and Recovery Center are here for you. Visit our website at fairbanksrecovery.org for recovery resources, or call 800-225-4673. Again, 800-225-HOPE for immediate help. Thanks for listening.